Haideți cu toții să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură pentru predica din limba engleză la Geneza, capitolul 21. Am să citesc primele 7 versete. So, let's all open our Bibles at the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 21, first 7 verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him from Sarah, bore to him Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who'd have said that Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him as a son in his old age. Amen. The last time I was here before you, I came with a message that said, four perils, four dangers that stop us from seeing God's blessing. And if you guys remember, we were talking about the pressure test, the lack of faith, the lack of perseverance, and the wrong priority, things that can stop us from receiving God's blessing. And tonight I want to take things a little further, and I want to talk about God's promise for us. And the title of my message tonight says, look at the promise, not at the problem. Look at God's promise for you. Look at God's blessing for you, not necessarily at the issue that you are in today. You see, an illustration says that, a story says that there were a few people on a boat in the middle of the ocean. And the weather was bad, the boat sank. They took a saving boat, and it's been days without food, without water, and they said, you know what, we're not going to make it. We will die. There's no airplane, there's nothing here around us, and we will just die. We should just rather jump in the water and just get over with it. And the captain, the guy that was still with them, said, you know what, guys, if you would just resist one or two more days, after my estimations, the shore shouldn't be far away. And they didn't listen to him, and they died. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we look at the ocean, we look at what we have around us, and it seems like there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of tough situations. But if we just try to picture and comprehend a little more than we can visualize with these eyes, there might be a shore very soon. There might be a hope very soon. There might be God. There might be a blessing very soon. You see, if you have a dime or a coin and you close one of your eyes and you're going to cover the other one and you will try to look at the stars or the sky, or you won't be able to see them. And just a small dime, a small coin will stop you from seeing God's blessing. You see, that's the problem with us. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we are too preoccupated on things that matter less. We're too preoccupated on our personality, on the way we look. Oh my God, I am too fat. If I would just lose some weight. I'm looking at her and this dress fits her so well. And you know, I wish I would have her body. I wish I would be like her. You know, I remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my dad has blue eyes. My mom has brown eyes. Me and all my siblings, we all have brown eyes. And for some reason, when I was 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to have green eyes. And now I'm very thankful with the eyes that God gave me. And if you have brown eyes, you want green eyes. If you have green, you want blue. If you have blue, you want purple. If you have curly hair, you will say, oh my God, I always wanted to have straight hair. If you are a brunette, you will say, oh, I always wanted to be a brunette. If you are blonde, you'll say, I always wanted to be a blonde. And it doesn't matter that we are created in God's image. It doesn't matter that God created us, but we always are thankful for the way we look. And those things, being focused on those things, brothers and sisters, this will stop us from seeing God's greatness in our life. Don't look at your imperfection, but look at God's perfection. Don't look at what other people say about you, but look and be focused on what God says about you. Don't look at your past, but look in your present and be focused on your future. Let's see what God says about us. In Psalm 139, verse 14, he says that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 17, he says that I am the apple of his eye. In Psalm 119, verse 14, he says, he is my refuge and my shield. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous hand.
He showed his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, God died for us. Christ died for us. You see, if you look at the president of the United States of America or any other president, and let's say we would be in a war, we would have to send some troops in Iraq or in Afghanistan or in Russia or in Ukraine or I don't know. You will never see a president going and fighting in the war. I mean, he's going to send his troops. He's going to send his soldiers, but they're never going to go and literally fight in the war. Even in the history, we used to see kings that would sometimes go in the war, but not that many times. And even when they would go in the war, they wouldn't really fight. A lot of times they would just stay back, in the back, kind of protected and be there just for the moral support of the soldiers. But God, brothers and sisters, He's the only one that sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He loved us so much that, in other words, He sent Himself, because we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're talking about Trinity. That's how much He loved me. That's how much He loves you. That's how important you are in His eyes. That's how important I am in God's eyes. So look at the promise tonight. Not necessarily at the problem. You know, you can probably get a medical report and you can go home and you're going to think of what the doctor said. And he said, you know what, I have to be honest with you. I mean, your situation is pretty bad. I mean, you're going to have to go through a surgery. You're going to have to go through a surgery, right? We're going to have to make go with a procedure on you. And I have to be honest with you. There's 5% chances for you to die. And you will go home and you will start hanging out with your friends and you'll talk to your friends and you're going to tell them what the doctor said. And one of your friends is going to tell you how one of his relatives, he suffered from the same condition and he went through a surgery and he died. And suddenly you're going to freak out and you're not going to know what to do. And you're not going to be able to sleep and you're not going to be able to eat and you're going to be frustrated. And you're going to make your situation so bad that probably you're going to be close to death. Why? Because you make your situation worse than it is. And you can very easily do that. Or you can come and go home and say, you know what, God, I love you, God. God, I'm very thankful for the family that you gave me, God. I'm very thankful for the church that you gave me, God. God, you know what, I want you to heal me, and I know and I believe that you can heal me, God. I want to be a blessing for my church. I want to be a blessing for my kids. I want to be a blessing for the others around me, God. But you know what, if you decide, God, to take me, then be it, God, because I know you have something else better prepared for me. I know that I will be with the lover of my soul, God. There's two choices. You know, you might be upset. There's a lot of parents here. And you might look at your family and you might look at your kids and you might say, you know, there's no hope. It's been a year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. I'm still praying for my son. I'm still praying for my daughter. And things just get worse and worse and worse instead of getting better. And it's just so easy to lose your hope. It's just so easy to lose your patience. It's just so easy to quit. And you can do that very easily. Or you can come and you can pray and you say, God, you know what? This is my situation, God. This is where I am right now, God. But God, I want to remind you something, God. I want to pray for my son. I want to pray for my daughter. And I want to remind you the fact that I brought that son and that daughter when he was just 1 or 2 months old right here. And I asked for your blessing and you pour out your blessing all over that baby, over that kid at that time. I know my situation is bad, God. I know my situation is desperate, God. But I know that it's just temporarily, God. And I know that one day you will bring my son back. One day you will bring my daughter back. One day you will bring my friend back, my father, my mother, my husband, and my wife back, God. And one day I know that I will be a blessing for others, God, because I trust you, because I trust your word, God, because I look at the promise, not at the problem. I look at the promise. I don't want to look at the problem tonight. You know, God comes to Abraham and says, you know, Abraham, you will have a son. And Abraham, you know, could have said, you know, I'm almost 100 years old. I mean, really, God? I mean, is there a chance for me? Let me go Google it, right? Let me go Google it. Is there any chance to have a kid when you're 100? I don't know. Let me go in my tent. Eliezer, what do you think? Look at God says. What do you say, Eliezer? He didn't care about what media says. He didn't care about what the society has to say. He didn't care about what his friends have to say. He didn't care about what his relatives have to say. He didn't care about what his servants have to say, because he trusted the Lord. He trusted God. He had faith in God. That's a real belief in our Lord, brothers and sisters. Real belief in God, a real belief in our Lord. Why? Because Abraham looked at the promise, not at the problem. So, three tips tonight, three things. How do we look at the promise and not at the problem? Three things that we need to understand. First of all, we need to take the veil out. You know, we all know that story from Numbers 22 of Balak and Balaam. A story that is very deep, but I think has some sort of sense of humor in it as well. You know, we know this king, we know Balak. He kind of believed in God, but he didn't like God's people. Like, I believe God, I believe in your power, I believe you exist, God, but I don't like the Israelites. And he thought that if he's going to bring this prophet and if this prophet will curse the Israelites, things are gonna be okay. Dar problema e de multe ori că socoteala din târg nu, de acasă nu e întotdeauna aceeași cu cea din târg. And he sends some messengers to Balaam and he says, you know, come here and curse those people. And he doesn't come. And then he's buying him with silver and with gold. And the guy comes, but something happens. The donkey starts going crazy everywhere. And at some point he stops and he's Balaam is so frustrated and he starts beating the donkey. And God makes a miracle. And the donkey starts speaking and he says, why do you beat me? What do you mean, why do I beat you? If I would be able to, I would kill you right now because look what you're doing. You're going crazy everywhere and now you stop. But was I ever disobedient? No, you weren't, but you are now. But don't you see why I'm disobedient? Because there's an angel right in front of us ready to kill both of us because you have a veil on your face and you cannot see the problem that you're in. And if you cannot see the problem that you're in, then you are never going to be able to see God's promise. I don't know what's the veil. What's your veil tonight? What's that blanket? What's that cover on your eyes, on your life? It might be compromise. It might be envy. It might be anger. It might be hate. It might be pornography. It might be an idol. It might be the love of money. It might be arrogance. But I want to tell you something tonight. We need to let our flesh go. We need to get out from that cell of sin and get close to our God. Apostolul Pavel spune în Romani, capitolul 13, versetul 12, noaptea aproape a trecut, se apropie ziua, să ne dezbrăcăm dar de faptele întunericului și să ne îmbrăcăm cu armele luminii. Dacă să mă dezbrac de armele întunericului, înseamnă să mă dezbrac de tot ce e păcătos, tot ce e murdar, tot ce e firesc și să mă îmbrac în armura lui Hristos. Domnul Iisus spune în Matei 10, nu? Dacă vrea cineva să mă urmeze, să se lepede de sine, să-și ia crucea și să vină după mine, nu? Să-și ia crucea, ca să fiu în situația în care să pot să-mi iau crucea, să spun, da, mi-am luat crucea și merg după Hristos, înseamnă că trebuie să mă lepă de tot ce e rău, eu deja trebuie să fiu un om transformat. Eu trebuie să fiu un om schimbat, eu trebuie să fiu un om eliberat. That veil has to be out. That cover that is on my eyes and in my life has to be out. E vorba de transparență, dacă if we want revival, dacă vrem trezire, în primul rând trebuie să avem transparență. În biserică, în familie, în casele noastre, în inimile și în viețile noastre. Two, understand God's way. You want to look at the promise, not at the problem. We need to understand God's way. You know, a lot of times, we're probably reading the Bible, we're reading the scriptures, and a lot of people, I think, wonder this, and they say, you know, Jesus made so many miracles, and I do believe that there were people raised from the dead, and I do believe, I mean, I saw even the disciples, even after Jesus left, you know, they would get in houses, people would be raised from the dead, people would be healed, you know, and why, there were all these things then, but what about now? Where are these things now? Did God change? No, God didn't change. Did we change? Yes, we did. You know, Herod wanted to see a miracle. Herod didn't care for Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't care about Jesus. He didn't care about what Jesus has to say. He didn't care about Jesus' mission in this world. He wanted to see a show. He wanted to see a miracle happening there. Something magical happened. That's what he expected. A lot of people, unfortunately, come to church because they just want something magical to happen. Yes, God, I'll come, but just heal me. I heard there's that band from Romania coming and the church is full. I don't know. What prophet from India or Africa or Romania, and I'm going because who knows, maybe God will speak to me. I want to see it. God, I want to see something magical, but if that's the only day or the only time, then I expect to have that relationship and that dialogue with God, then I'm wasting my time. I'm really wasting my time. When God created this world, brothers and sisters, he created it on two concepts, the physical and the spiritual law. The physical law is a law that doesn't require our faith to understand it. For instance, you take a plate, a ceramic plate from the fourth floor, and you just push it down, right? On the floor, I don't know, on the concrete. I mean, you don't need any faith to understand that that ceramic plate will break in pieces, right? But the spiritual law is a law that requires our faith to understand it. Our faith to understand it. A faith that will operate, confine the earth's limit. Peter goes on the water. It's apparut că eu ne Luca, nu și era Hristos. And Jesus says, come to me, Peter. And Peter makes a step, makes two, and he goes down in the water. And then Jesus comes and he gives him his hand and he takes his hand and he walks. Why? Because Peter, brothers and sisters, he was stuck into that physical concept. He just saw the water. He saw the problem. He was going crazy. What am I going to do? I'm going to drown. I'm going to die now. But at that moment, when Jesus Christ gave him his hand, Peter was elevated from that physical concept into a spiritual concept, into a different concept. God gives me a promise. God gives you a promise in his word where the physical and the spiritual law coexist. What kind of promises is God giving us today? Philippians 4:19, but may God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. John 15, verses 7 and 8, if you abide in me and in my words abide in you, you shall ask and it shall be done. Deuteronomy 31, verse 18, the Lord is one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. James 1, 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find the rest of your soul. Jesus didn't come here to make anything magical happen. God is not here, brothers and sisters. He's here in this church, but he's not here in this church to make anything magical happen. You know, God is here and Jesus came here to give me and to give you a promise. A promise that will change the nature of my life. A promise that will change the nature of your life. And a promise that eventually will bear fruit in my life and in your life. The tragic part is the devil wants to take that promise away from you. The devil wants you to just see an ocean. The devil wants you to just see problems. The devil wants you to just see frustration. The devil wants you to just see desperation, negativity. But God wants you to believe in his word. God wants me to believe in his word, to believe in his promise. He wants me and you to cling to him as a little baby clings to his mother, asking for assurance, for protection, for security. Domnul Iisus spune în Ioan 8:31, dacă rămâneți în cuvântul meu, sunteți cu adevărat ucenicii mei. Veți cunoaște adevărul și adevărul vă va face sloboz. Ce mă va face sloboz? Adevărul. Adică dacă rămân în cuvântul Domnului. God, if I believe your promise, that means God, God says, you know, if you relate to me, if you relate to my word, if you believe in me, if you have faith in me, if you want to walk with me, if you want to be my partner, then you need to believe, you need to trust me. There has to be a trust code. And then you will understand how God works. And then I will understand God's way in my life. Three. And last. Be focused. Be focused. I want to say something about me that most of you guys don't know. I'm really bad at math. I was always very bad at math. So bad that since I was 10 years old, I was in the fifth grade, I need tutoring. I was that bad. And not too long ago, I had to take a math class in college. I almost had anxiety. I thought I'm not going to pass the class. What am I going to do? I barely know math for third and fourth grade. What am I going to do in college? And surprisingly, I actually did better than I expected. And a lot of times I would do some exercises and I would see the professor on the blackboard doing them. And you know, I would look and I would think and I was like, wow, it's so hard. I don't know how to do this problem. And I would see him doing it. And you know, after he did it, you know, there was just one thing, one little thing that I missed. And then he resolved the problem and I'm like, oh yeah, I got it now. Well, you know, I was thinking like, it wasn't even that hard. But I wasn't focused. You know, there's the same thing with God, brothers and sisters. There's the same thing with his promise. A lot of times we do not understand it because we're not focused. We're not focused on what happens in the church. We're not focused on what happened outside. We read the Bible, but we're not focused. We're never focused. And if I'm not focused, if I don't look deep in what God has to tell me, then I'm not going to understand it. To look deep, to open my eyes. You know, there were 12 men that went in Canaan. 12 oameni care s-au dus, 12 squad. And it's very interesting that 10 of them, all of them had the same sensation, but different perceptions. 10 of them go in Canaan and they come back and they say, you know what? Yes, there's a lot of wealth in this country, in this land, but you know what? There's no way we can beat those people. There's no way. Those people are giants. They're going to kill us. We have no chance. And then Joshua and Caleb, they're teammates in a way, right? They come and they say, yes, there's a lot of wealth in this land, but hey, guys, don't even worry about it. There's no way we can have this land because God promised us this land because we have God on our side. Because 10 of them were just stuck into the physical law. They just saw the problem. They saw the giants. They were just scared of what they comprehended when they can visualize with his human eyes. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw things different. They were elevated from this physical concept into the spiritual concept. That means when I walk with God, when I see things through God's eyes, that's spirituality, that's faith, that's believing the Lord. David goes to beat Goliath. No one believed. Absolutely no one believed that he can beat that man. His brothers made fun of him. I'm sure the other soldiers were looking at them saying, what's wrong with your brother? Come on, are you guys serious? Is this a joke? Nici măcar Saul nu cred un moment că Saul a crezut că David îl poate învinge pe Goliath. L-a văzut o victimă sigură. Because for everyone else, Goliath was their limit, their border. We can't go further than this. For everyone else, Goliath was a problem. But for David, Goliath was the promise. Through Goliath, they would have got the promise. He saw the victory in Goliath. He saw it differently. He was focused on what God has to tell him. For everyone else, Goliath was a giant. But for David, Goliath was just an uncircumcised. Because David was focused of God's promise. I want to ask you something tonight. What are you focused on? I don't know what you're focused on. You might be focused on your problems. You might be focused on your sickness. You might have lost someone that you loved. You might have problems. It might be something spiritually, a sickness that is spiritually, that is emotionally, that is physical. I don't know. Poate complexitatea vieții de zi cu zi, parcă nu mai poți să ieși din impas, nu poți să mai ieși din probleme și parcă stagnezi și parcă te-ai săturat și parcă ți-ai luat lumea în cap. I don't know, it's just that you can't move forward. It's you're stuck here and you're just so sick and tired of it. And there's no way, you only see darkness, you only see problems. You have no hope. Yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, I've come to church, yeah, I hear God loves me, but look what happens in my life. But what about testing God a little bit, brothers and sisters? He wouldn't mind if you'd be tested. He want to be tested by us. What about having a little bit of faith tonight, Emmanuel? We're talking about revival. We're talking about great things, and we like to hear about them. But if we want revival, we need to have faith. If we want revival, we need to have faith. I want to end up with an illustration. It's not for my life, not that I wouldn't have it, but it would come at the right time. Probably you guys remember that guy, that Asian guy, Dr. John Sim, that was here a few months ago. A great guy, great man of God. He was telling us something that he experienced to us students, and it just touched my life. And he was telling us how he's been a professor at Vanguard for 15 years, I think now, or over that. And in 2006, 7, 8, that period of time, you know, there was a recession and a lot of people lost their jobs. Things went really bad in the United States. And he said there was a night and I just couldn't sleep. You know, I wasn't sick. I wasn't worried about anything. It's just one of those nights where you just can't sleep. And he said, I was going in the living room and I start reading the Bible and I start praying. It's like almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't worried. And I hear a voice coming and saying, John, would you let your job go? I said, oh, it's probably my mind. It's probably my thoughts. They just go crazy. And then the voice would come again and again and again and again and say, John, would you let your job go? He said, I wasn't worried about losing my job. I knew that a lot of people, even at Vanguard, lost their job. But I knew they need me. They needed me. And my job was secured. And I said, God, why do you ask me this question, God? I mean, seriously, you know, I've been a pastor for so many years and I left my church, I left everything just to be a professor because I love doing that. You know how much I love teaching people about your word, God? But the voice wouldn't stop. He would come again and again and again. And he said, you know what, God? Yes, if it's you, God, then I will do that. He goes to the accounting office the next day and he says, you know what, to the lady there, you know, I know it sounds crazy. I know you guys laid off a lot of people and it really sounds weird, but do you have a position available? She looks at him and says, John, yes, there is actually a position available, but why, you're interested for someone else? No, I'm actually interested for me. But John, I mean, you wouldn't want to do it. It's in accounting. You are a professor. You're teaching theology. It's not, you know, I have some experience in an account. I have an accounting. I have some school and I just want to, but please just keep it on the low. So he had an interview. He got the position and he said, you know, I don't know, God, now I'm going through faith. I don't know what's going to happen, but things get a little weird now. After 2 or 3 days, the dean of the university brought him in this office and he said, John, you know what? I have to give you a news. You know, things get really bad here and we got to let you go. He said, I didn't know how to act. I wanted to kind of hug him. I wanted to love him. I wanted to say thank you because I had faith, because I knew and I saw how God worked in my life. I was secured. I already had a job. After less than 9 months, I got my job back. And now he's working, teaching theology, and he has a part-time job into the accounting office. Why? Because he trusted God. Because he had faith in the Lord. Because he was focused on what God has to tell him, not anything else. What are you? What am I focusing at 12 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, every day of my life? When God speaks to me, when I hear his voice, am I saying, God, what do you have for me, God? Because I'm so curious, God. I'm just melting, just hearing your voice and having a relationship with you and just listening to what you have to tell me. Or I'm just worried about other things. This is the encouragement. This is the whole idea for tonight. Look at the promise, not at the problem. So how am I looking at the promise, not at the problem? First of all, taking the veil out, taking the sin out, getting from that stage, that cell of four walls of sin and sticking to God, sticking to what's right, sticking to being full of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Two, understanding God's way, understanding the way He works, trying to be elevated from that physical concept into the spiritual concept. And three, be focused. Relate to God every day. Stay close. Read the Bible. Be focused on what you're reading. Be focused on what you're hearing. Be focused on what God has to tell you every day. Să fii vigilant, să fii atent, să fii pătruns de Duhul lui Dumnezeu, să fii pătruns de ce citești, să fii pătruns de ce asculți, de ce vezi, de ce simți, de ce concepi. Look at the promise, not at the problem. Look at what God has for you. Don't look at your impossibilities, but be confident in God's great possibilities. Don't look and have doubts in what you cannot do, but be focused, have trust in what God can do in your life. Amen.